All right, joining us now on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline, The Ringer's Tate Frazier. He's host of the One Shining podcast and Through the Ringer on FanDuel TV. Tate, how's it going?
It's going well. I'm happy to be back. It's the best time of the year. I love when people are reaching out and they want to talk about college basketball. It's we get about 2 weeks of this, so we got to live in the moment and love it. So I'm having a great time.
We are having a great time here covering, I'm going to say, a local team, certainly for my co-host, who is a Coug. But the Cougs, number seven, taking on number 10, Drake. Tell me a bit about this matchup.
Well, first, this is a tough draw for the Cougs in the first round. Drake is a team that, I mean, they're kind of like the darlings of March. You got Tucker DeVries, who's their best player. His dad happens to be the head coach of Drake, Darian DeVries. It's a tough 10 seed because a lot of people think the MVC was a really good conference this year. A lot of people wanted Indiana State to be in the tournament as well. Drake won their tournament with the MVC. They get the automatic bid. So it's a tough draw for the Cougs, but it's one of those things where you got to beat good teams in March if you want to move on. We all know how the game goes. And, you know, unfortunately, they're going to have a lot of Drake fans in the building because it's going to be in Omaha. So they'll probably feel like the away team there. But, you know, Kyle Smith, he loves being the underdog. He's got a really good team with some really great storylines themselves. So it'll be a tough first round game, but I think the Cougs can handle business.
Tate, yeah, I hope we get it done, man. It's going to be tough over there for my guys. And when I look at this matchup, it's about the Washington State Cougars being able to slow down a hot Drake team. When you look at the matchups, are there any individual matchups in this game that you're looking forward to seeing?
Well, it's like, who's going to guard Tucker DeVries on Wazoo? I think that's the real question. Is it Yakimovsky? Is it Isaac Jones? Do you double him? And then, you know, as we both know, some of the best offense for the Cougs is offensive rebounds. Drake does a really good job of clearing the boards and getting defensive rebounds and ending possessions. So those second chance points might not be there for the Cougs. I'm hoping that Miles Rice, who has kind of been a little shaky with his three-point shot down the stretch, hopefully he finds new life from the outside. Jalen Wells, hopefully as well, can knock down some shots. You know, it's one of those things where hopefully Wazoo can play their game, slow it down, like you said, and be able to get on the offensive glass, and I think that'll be a big difference for them.
Hey, last question for me on the Cougs before I get some other teams here. But we talked with Kyle Smith yesterday, and we said, hey, are you interested in signing an extension and staying there in Pullman? He said he loves Pullman, once a Coug, always a Coug, that they're working on something now. Bump was a little on the fence with, like, how do we interpret that? Is that just, you know, something he's saying? Do you personally see Kyle Smith coming back to Pullman after this season?
I hope so. I think what he's done there and his ability to – I mean, they had so much talent there last year. I mean, guys like Muhammad Gay, TJ Bamba, we saw at Nova, DJ Rodman at USC. I mean, there was so much talent that he lost. And, you know, to find guys from Wenatchee, you know, a guy like Isaac Jones, I mean, that just shows that he understands the area and how to find talent and how to nurture that talent in Pullman. So I'm hoping that he stays there. Obviously, there's always rumblings, right? And every time that people make lists and there's a coach that's done a really good job, they end up on those lists. I mean, Wazoo saw it with their football coach as well, right? You know, during the season. So with Jake Dickert. So it's one of those things where Wazoo fans, unfortunately, that's just part of the game. Stanford, I'm sure, will call him. They even said the Huskies would call him. I can't imagine he would go and saddle up with UW, but who knows? So I think Kyle Smith will be there, but you never know in college sports, as we all know.
So I'm looking at these number one seeds as I strategize for my bracket. And the scariest one is University of Houston, man. They lost by dang near 30 points in the game prior. What is it about this team that makes you believe, and what is it about this team that makes you doubt them a bit?
Yeah, before that Iowa State game, I would have said that Houston's probably, you know, maybe outside of UConn, you know, we can be frank there. But Houston was a team that you could really trust. You know, Kelvin Sampson's one of the best coaches in the country. They have a style. They make you play their way typically. But we saw when things go the wrong way. Obviously, losing Tugler was a big deal. I thought he was a nice piece for Houston. That happened a couple of weeks back. But, yeah, I mean, the second-round game will be between either Nebraska or Texas A&M. Texas A&M has one of the best backcourts in the tournament. We always talk about guard play when it comes to March. Texas A&M checks the box there. Houston's guards are great. Jamal Shedd, first-team All-American. So, I mean, Houston checks a lot of the boxes. You know, before that Iowa State game, like I said, I'm trying to wipe it from my memory. I thought Houston had a – had a good path to get to the Final Four. But A&M is very worrisome in the second round. In fact, honestly, all the 8-9 matchups for the one seeds are pretty intimidating, and I could see a lot of them going sideways for those one seeds.
I'm also getting my bracket together, but I'm looking at some of those really early rounds. Which double digit seed do you think has the best shot at a Cinderella run?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. New Mexico seems to be the team that everyone has fallen in love with. I really like this team. Richard Pitino, obviously son of Rick Pitino. You got Jalen House, son of Eddie House. You got Jamal Mashburn Jr. Obviously, his dad is Jamal Mashburn. And then they have another guard, Donovan Dent. Those three guards are great. I worry about who they have on the inside, and they're playing a Clemson team that has a really good front court. When P.J. Hall, who's an All-American type player, and Ian Sheflin, those two guys will be a tough matchup. But New Mexico is one team that I could see just with their guard play being able to make a run. I think a lot of people like McNeese, formerly known as McNeese State, but Will Wade is there, and he has changed the conversation. He'll be going up against Gonzaga in the first round. So I think that's actually a tough draw for them. We'll see what happens. So that's another team that's been thrown out there. And then James Madison, the Dukes. This is a team that's won 31 games. They also have a really good backcourt with Terrence Edwards and TJ Bickerstaff. So those are some, 11-12, 2-12 season, 11 seed that I think will get a lot of people's attention. And they have a lot of talent, and they're definitely capable of making a run.
There's a name that always pops up every single year when it comes to just the team in general. And they deserve respect. They get my respect. But Creighton, what is it about Creighton and that program over there that allows them to be so consistent over the past decade?
Well, the good news is that they've had a lot of the talent return. I mean, obviously, Ryan Nimhardt, was able to get out of there and go to Gonzaga. But typically, Creighton, brings their guys back. And Baylor – Shireman was one of the biggest additions last year, had a great year for them, gets them to the Elite Eight. And I talked to him in the Maui Invitational a couple years ago, and I asked him, like, what's the goal? And he said to get to the Final Four. So I think this is a team that has a one-train mind. Their coach, Greg McDermott, said, I don't want to go to Ohio State. I don't want to go to Louisville. I want to be the coach at Creighton. He gets a contract extension. And you got Trey Alexander, who's an NBA first-round pick. You got Ryan Kalkbrenner, who's one of the best bigs in the country, especially on the defensive end. So they have the pieces to make a run in March, and Shireman's a guy that could end up being, a most outstanding player type if he gets hot from the outside. So Creighton just kind of checks a lot of the boxes. They have a really good head coach, and it's not bad when you have Nike on your side. You know what I mean? So, they got a good formula going up there in Omaha.
UConn's definitely going to be the most popular pick, a chance to be the first back-to-back champ since 2007. I picked them in mine just because I couldn't think of a reason not to, but it sometimes feels too good to be true when there's something so obvious. Right. So what's their path to a win look like?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Connecticut obviously won every game last year by double digits, and it looked like they were just an unstoppable force. And I think a lot of people, even though it's a different team, they kind of have the same DNA, obviously, because they have their head coach Dan Hurley, and they just run great offense, and they come in waves, and they never stop. And I think that's the thing about UConn that's very fascinating. The other fascinating thing is their second round game. Usually the defending champs struggle in that 8-9 game. We saw it with Villanova. They won in 2016. 2017, they play Wisconsin. Nigel Hayes and that Wisconsin team get the big upset over them. Baylor, 2021, right? The next year, they play North Carolina in an 8-9 game, and they end up getting upset in overtime. So UConn going up against FAU, a team that was in the Final Four last year, a team that, has pretty much the exact same team that went to the Final Four back in the tournament, playing a UConn team with some of these guys. I mean, obviously Tristan Newton was there, but like Cam Spencer is going to be in a heightened role. So I think FAU, Dusty May is trying to probably get himself a really good contract at somewhere like Louisville. So you beat a team like UConn in the second round and get back to the Sweet 16. And, the price yesterday is not the price today is what Dusty may be saying if he's able to upset UConn in the second round. So that would be the game that really worries me. And then potentially they could play San Diego State, another Final Four team from last year in the Sweet 16. So it's definitely not an easy draw for UConn. But as you said, it's hard to pick against them because they're just so good.
I got to ask you about the team with the most NCAA tournament appearances in all the land, University of Kentucky. When you think about all the talent that's been through there, especially when Calipari's been there, he only has one national championship. How much pressure is on him this year to get it done? And do you see a world where he's really on the hot seat and guys are the alums are calling for a different name?
Yeah, I mean, you Big Blue Nation does not mess around, and they don't waste time, and they don't like being BS'd around. And John Calipari is one of those guys where, he has been able to sell the dream of the NBA. He'll remind you that he has made $3 billion in contract money from his players during his era. But like you said, it's one national championship, and Big Blue Nation, they're striving for nine. They expect their next national championship. I mean, they got a tough first round game against Oakland. Greg Campy, the longest tenured coach in college basketball, he's seen a thing or two, and Kentucky is still a young team. Kentucky is very strange. They basically bring off their two best players off the bench. You know what I mean? And Reed Sheppard and Rob Dillingham. So they don't even start their two best players who are going to be top 10 picks in the NBA draft. So they're a very interesting team because they have so much talent. But when you just kind of look at the draw that they had there, like I said, Oakland in the first round, potentially in the second round, you play Texas Tech or NC State, two really tough teams. NC State has some assistants over there that used to be with Calipari. That game is going to be in Pittsburgh. That's a place NC State has done really well in the past. People remember the flute from the Villanova game that happened to be in Pittsburgh when NC State upset them back in 2015. So I think Kentucky has a tough path to get out of Pittsburgh, but that is kind of where home is for John Calipari in Pittsburgh. So maybe he feels good, and they can get up and meet up with Marquette, and that should be a great game in the Sweet 16. And if they're able to get to the Elite Eight, you never know what happens because, like you said, they have so much talent in the building.
Let's talk about the Zags' path a little bit. It feels weird to talk about them in any way as a weaker team, but they were fortunately able to obviously fight their way in a tough Midwest region, though, with a much better Purdue team, who I don't think we can take as a disappointment early this year. What do you make of that Midwest region and of the Zags' path?
Yeah, I think Purdue got as far as Purdue being able to make their first Final Four since 1980, I feel like they got a pretty generous path to get there. I think Kansas is obviously hampered with injuries. They have a tough matchup with Samford in elevation. Samford's going to be, pressing them the whole game. Gonzaga's got a tough matchup because Will Wade is a really good basketball coach, and Will Wade is having the time of his life, and apparently someone on his staff, his name's Brandon Brackets is the nickname for him, but he apparently forecasted that they were going to have a 5-12 game against Gonzaga. So he had been scouting Gonzaga, longer than most people would have been scouting a team, that's going to be in the tournament. So that's a little bit worrisome from the Gonzaga standpoint. I really like this team. Second in the country in field goal percentage. They're able to score the basketball. We've seen them have some electric halves. They've scored 60, 63 in a first half, and then they scored 60 in a second half of the season. So, they're able to put up points. I think McNeese has actually been a little bit overrated. They have this guy, Shahade Wells, who is great, but I think Gonzaga wins this game. I'm thinking that Samford could upset Kansas, but if not, I think Gonzaga could beat an injured Kansas team. And then I could see Gonzaga getting to the Sweet 16 and matching up with Purdue. And you got Graham Ike taking on Zach Edey. Ben Gregg will probably be important in that game. I'm not sure that Gonzaga has the depth to deal with Purdue, but who knows? Maybe they get hot. Maybe Nembhard has one of those Cinderella runs, and we could see a Nembhard game, by the way, Gonzaga Creighton in the Elite Eight if things break that way. So Gonzaga definitely has a path, and I think that them being a five seed is actually takes a little bit of pressure off Mark Few and the rest of his team.
Now, I'm going to assume I have to subscribe for the answer to this question. So if I'm taking money out your pocket, don't be afraid to shoot it down. Who you got in your Final Four?
Yeah, it's been, it's always tough with these picks, right? I mean, anything could happen. I think I was telling people about college basketball. It's like what you've seen of a team, the best of them, if you like them, you think of the best of them. If you don't like them, you think of the worst of them. So I'm thinking this year is going to be a very chalky bracket. I think there's going to be a lot of one seeds that make their way to the Final Four. But this is the Final Four that I put together. I got Connecticut coming out of the East. I think it's going to be a really tough run there. I think they're going to play BYU in the Elite Eight. I got Wazoo going to the Sweet 16, actually. They're going to upset Iowa State in my bracket. So
Let's go.
I got Connecticut winning the East. Out West, North Carolina, I'm going to be out here in Los Angeles. That's my alma mater, North Carolina. So I got UNC taking on Arizona in that Elite Eight game. It's the Caleb Love game. I have said that I think Arizona is going to win that game. That's probably me trying to be very objective. But if North Carolina's in the Elite Eight and they have a chance to go to the Final Four, I think they get it done. So let's say Connecticut, UNC, and then we go to the South. I got a 1983 3 rematch in the Elite Eight. NC State taking on Houston, just for the history of the game. I got Houston going to the Final Four. And then in the Midwest, which I had a little bit of craziness here, I had Gonzaga actually beating Purdue, getting to the Elite Eight. And then you got Oregon taking on Texas in the bottom of that. Gonzaga, Oregon. Oregon went to the Final Four in Phoenix back in 2017. So did Gonzaga. This time around, Gonzaga returned. So Gonzaga and North Carolina go back to the Final Four. I got Connecticut, Houston, UNC, Gonzaga. I got UNC beating UConn. I got Houston beating Gonzaga, and I got Houston beating Carolina to win the title.
I'm just going to be filling this. I'm going to re-listen back to this, Tate, and just write it out for our own work bracket. My last question is, Curtis, who you spoke with, is an alma mater for Arizona. Obviously, they won in 97, and he pointed out that it's the last time a team in the Western United States even won. You've got some representation there, at least in the Elite Eight moving forward. Why do you think that is, and do you think it's a streak that ends this year?
Yeah, I think Arizona's got a great shot. This Arizona team, the only thing that they struggle with sometimes is like when they need someone to get a shot for them, it's Caleb Love. And Caleb Love can be amazing and Caleb Love can be a disaster. And a lot of times there's no in-between. We call it the Caleb Love experience. So I think that's the only thing that worries you. But Caleb's already been there. He's been to a national championship game. I like Keshawn Johnson and Caleb Love. These are two guys that have made runs in March. I think that, you know, that kind of experience is very valuable for Tommy Lloyd and his staff. I think, you know, New Mexico is a team that's out west that can make a run. You know, BYU is another team. I mean, Gonzaga, obviously, I had them going to my Final Four. I mean, there's going to be a team that gets over the hump. UCLA was right there before, you know, Jalen Suggs hit that half-court shot, you know. So we've seen teams make runs from the West. I don't really know how to explain it. It's a very strange phenomenon, but it has to end at some point. It's kind of like the Big Ten. They haven't won a title since 2000. Like, eventually something's got to give and they got to win. So that's why Purdue has a chance. Like, the odds say eventually it's got to happen.
One Shining Podcast with Tate Frazier, part of the Ringer NBA Podcast Network, is essential listening, especially this month, this week, as you fill out your brackets. Follow along with Tate's information about all this stuff. Great previews, great stuff. The latest episode uploaded yesterday, so go check it out. He is Tate Frazier. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Tate.
Of course. Anytime. Appreciate you guys. Hope we all enjoy our March.
Fingers crossed. Thanks.